Hey everybody, welcome to our first episode of DataBound. I'm Roger Doherty, Senior Technical Evangelist with Microsoft's Developer and Platform Evangelism Division. And DataBound is all about database and BI development, so if you're a developer and you care about database development or BI development, this show's for you. So on today's show, we're going to be discussing how to develop custom applications for Power Pivot. And I've got a couple of friends of mine here, Chris and Aaron from Extended Results, who are going to demo a very cool new application called Calendar Analytics. So before we do that, I just want to make sure I set a little baseline information on Power Pivots for those of you developers who aren't familiar with it. So I'm going to go ahead and advance the slide there. So Power Pivot is a free Excel 2010 add-in. It was introduced with SQL Server 2008 R2. And what this thing is it's basically a free in-memory column database for Excel. Excel is the most popular data analysis tool in the world. You know, your users are using it whether you want them to or not for tasks that it was designed to do and for tasks that it wasn't designed to do. Power Pivot really helps bridge the gap and add very, very powerful analytics capabilities to that native Excel environment by adding this, you know, in-memory column database engine to it. So it uses sort of a tabular model, and it solves one of the conundrums that Excel has for analyzing data because it's relational. As you pull these tables in, you can set up relationships between them. And it's also pretty cool because you can suck data in from wherever you want, from text files, from databases, from feeds on the internet, even from web services like Exchange, which we'll talk about in a minute. So the ability to suck that data into this in-memory model and compress it gives you really powerful analytics over very large, large data sets because we can pack a lot of data into memory in this tabular model. It has an expression syntax called DAX, or Data Analysis Expressions. This is an Excel-like syntax that's useful for doing analytics, for creating calculated columns, for creating calculated measures, basically to massage your data that you bring into your model into a form where it's useful to do analysis in Excel. So DAX makes it pretty easy to do that. It's all using an Excel paradigm. So once you have your data in Power Pivot, it becomes a data source for Excel. And then Excel can use it for pivot tables, pivot charts, or even freeform reports using cube functions. You guys are probably using all three of those things in yours, right?
Yep, that's right.
Once you have your Power Pivot model built up, we also have this server implementation of Power Pivot that exists in SharePoint. You can publish your Power Pivot workbook up to SharePoint, render it in Excel services, and then it's backed up by a Power Pivot engine that's actually running up there in the SharePoint environment, which you guys really didn't use any of that. You're all client-based, right,
that's
for
right.
your piece. Cool. So Power Pivot is built by the analysis services team, and I like to sort of position it as analytics for the rest of us. I mean, there's a lot of pointy-headed PhD types who learned technologies like the MDX query language, multi-dimensional expressions. I renamed that mind-destroying expressions. Okay, it's a great technology. It's OLAP technology for very high-end analytical analysis, but it really has a very steep learning curve, and a lot of developers just say, I don't even want to think about that. So if you walked away from OLAP technology because you thought it was too complex, come back, check out Power Pivot, because it's really analytics for the rest of us, right?
Yeah.
So next slide. So the app that we're going to discuss today was an app that our own internal BI team funded and developed. And they reached out to Extended Results, because you guys have good experience building BI solutions, yep. To build this application. So at a high level, Chris, what's Calendar Analytics designed to do for an end user?
Well, Calendar Analytics is really good for seeing where you spend your time. You know, people have been categorizing their calendar all the time in Outlook,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes people do it, and sometimes you know they don't do it because why, you know, you don't get any information when you do it. what Calendar Analytics does is it connects to your calendar and brings down the categories and aggregates them at a category level so you can see where you spend the time during the days of the week, time of day, and which projects I'm working on.
Cool. So the way that it goes and gets that calendar data is through Exchange Web Services.
That's right.
Right?
We use EWS is the shorthand for that.
Cool. Yeah. So your data source in this case is an Exchange Web Service.
Yeah.
Your authentication all happens by magic if you're on a nice AD Exchange provisioned network, yeah. Right?
It also works with Office 365 too. That's one of the reasons why we chose to use Exchange Web Services. It's a managed API. We can for those people who are using Office 365 Exchange accounts, we can connect to that too.
That's very cool. So you can use it for both on-prem Exchange deployments as well as, you know, stuff that's running up in Office 365.
That's right.
Very
that's
cool.
Right.
So it's got a cloud story there. Yeah. So the data source in this case is a web service. Mm-hmm. You guys have some code that you call this web service, right?
Yes,
that's
and
right.
Then you grab the data out of that web service and you use it to populate that tabular model in Power mm-hmm. Pivot, right?
Yep. There's actually two steps that we do. One is first it's a Visual Studio Tools VSTO a solution that we've created based on Excel, and we connect to EWS, we bring down the calendar information, and we populate an Excel table. So we're actually bringing it down to a worksheet.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's actually one of the interesting nuances of Power Pivot that I think a lot of people have a little trouble understanding. One of the data sources for Power Pivot can be an Excel worksheet.
That's right. Yep.
So what you actually can do there is you can combine data that you grab from a database or the web or some feed with data that's in your own Excel worksheet, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And you can then incorporate that in your Power Pivot model to do analysis against, right?
We bring down the calendar information to that spreadsheet, but then we also have other sheets, other worksheets that are hidden that we relate and use to dimensionalize our calendar data.
Such as a date field or something like that.
Right. So once it's in the worksheet, it's very easy then to add it to that tabular model in Power Pivot so that then you can get your analytics on top
right.
of it.
We create DAX measures, so we have metrics like meetings per day. That's very easy to do using DAX.
Let's crack it open and look at some code.
All right.
Give me a little walkthrough of what it took to develop this thing.
Okay. Well, I'm running it now, so let me just go ahead and stop it. And then we can go ahead and see it running. Okay, so this, as I was talking about, this is a C# Visual Studio Tools for Office solution, and we have basically one function that does a lot of things. And there's really three steps, basically connecting to the Exchange Web Service, pulling down the data from Exchange, and then populating Excel table. So the first part is connecting to Exchange Web Services.
Yeah, and there's really not a lot that we do here. EWS creates a pretty easy interface to use.
You can use that.
Working there. And so what we initially do here to create our communication is we just go get a new instance of an Exchange Service object.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've done that, in the case of like Office 365, you have to present your credentials. If you're just on your domain, you don't need to do that. Just enter your email address. So we do that here, and then we go ahead, and there's some certificate stuff that we assign, but the main thing that's done is the auto discovery. So that's where it goes out and you establish that connection using auto discovery. And so it makes it really easy for the user. You don't have to provide a bunch of
find my web service.
Exactly.
Right?
You don't have to provide all the strings and things like that.
I don't have to create a web reference.
That's right.
I don't have to worry about WSDL and SOAP and all that stuff.
Yep.
Basically one call.
One call.
Yep.
And all you got to do up front is provide email, and then if you're 365, you provide your password.
Gotcha.
That's all you got
to
do.
So after we connect to EWS, then the next step is to pull down the information from Exchange itself. So in our case, we're pulling down calendar data.
Okay.
Yep. So to pull down calendar data, the first thing we do is we get an instance of the calendar folder that we're interested in. You use the same EWS for email and things like that. But in our case, we just want to get the
calendar.
So basically
calendar. Anything that's in this Exchange store, you could pull through here.
Right. You could. Yeah.
You just happen to, this app works with the calendar.
Yeah. If we wanted to do email analytics,
you could do that.
Right.
So what we do here is we get an instance of the calendar folder, and then we go out and we get the date range. This function here, the get appointments, we wrap it. But basically all this does is we say, here's your folder ID and here's the date range, start and end. And then we go and download all of your appointments and meetings for that date range.
I guess a busy executive whose calendar is slammed with, you know, back-to-back meetings, 24/7 kind of thing, you're still only looking at probably, what, 15-20K worth of data over the wire for that,
yeah,
or less?
Yeah, it's not very much. And attachments don't come through, so it's
pretty lean.
And so yeah. in this wrapper function here, there's really only one pertinent line of code, and that's just this find appointments. We pass it our folder ID and our start and end date range, and it returns back to us a list of appointments.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah, and after that, we populate some local objects to make it easier. But the main thing is that we got the calendar items, and it's
so,
we have
so
a
you basically serialize a class internally in your code with this calendar information, and then you can use that to pump it into these hidden Excel
exactly.
worksheets.
That's
yeah.
right.
Gotcha.
So we have a bunch of ranges that we've set up in our worksheet here, basically one for the email addresses, one for the dates, one for the calendar items, one for categories, all the attendees and resources that are used for the
cool.
exchange.
You're using nice named ranges there, so
yep.
we're not dealing with A3 to C4.
That's right.
And,
exactly. yeah, and once you have
like
these,
that, yeah, right?
once you have these named ranges, then
just on those named ranges, do you guys lock up the spreadsheet to keep people from monkeying around with stuff like that?
We hit them, and in certain cases, we actually do want the user because they can provide a different level of group or categories.
Yeah.
And so there is actually one table where it's more interactive, but for the most part, we just hit them, and if the user wants to go monkey with it, you know, it's kind
That's
of...
Fine.
If you want to break your own spreadsheet,
yeah.
go for it. Yeah, I think a lot of developers stay away from, you know, using Excel as their UI because they're afraid they don't have a lot of control over
You can
things
lock
like
it.
That. Yeah. But really, it sounds like what you guys tried to do more was just try to fit into the Excel paradigm, right?
That's right.
Let people
yeah.
do what they would normally do in an Excel-like way.
And this right? is just a yeah. starting point. People can add their own measures and DAX formulas and things like that. So.
Cool. All right. So this is this the okay? Cool.
Yep.
So this is the collection that you were talking about, this appointment info thing.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And these objects like the calendar range. That's what we're just using to pump it into Excel. So
All right.
I
and then you kind of started off talking about the categorization of appointments, but most of us who don't do meetings for a living don't worry about categorizing our appointments.
Right.
But like a lot of management people and executives do a lot of categorization, and that categorization is really the key to getting rich information through this tool,
right? And you know, I think it's by seeing these types of dashboards, you're going to want to categorize.
Yeah. So you use the first time you see all, you know, everything getting lumped into one category, you're like, oh man, I got to go back through and categorize my meetings, right?
Yeah.
So you'll go back through, clean up your schedule, and get better information about how you're actually spending your time. And
yeah, without categories, you can answer questions like, who do I spend the most time with? But you can't answer the question is what do I spend the
right.
most time on?
Right. Right.
That's right.
Meetings versus meetings versus meetings versus meetings.
Right.
Gotcha.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and run the code, and this is going to load up Excel. So here.
So you're debugging right now.
I'm debugging.
Okay.
And we could see here that this is just the when you start it up, this is the sample data that comes with the solution.
Okay.
There's a.
So what screen resolution did you optimize for?
Not this one.
Yeah.
It's a little bit smaller. I could kind of
No, don't worry about it. I was just curious. Like, did you go for a 16 by 9 or a widescreen format?
Widescreen.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Widescreen, yep.
That's right. So I will go back to 100%, and this is this button that we added here.
Okay.
And we click here, and this is where it's prompting us for the...
So you just pump in your email address here.
That's right.
Or your Office 365... password if that's what you use.
Right.
Got
so if it's Office 365, you click on here and you have to provide your
password.
Nice.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. So both on-prem and cloud supported through the same code base.
That's right.
Which I think is extremely cool.
All right. Then the next step is to choose the date range, and it'll default for the current month, for the entire month.
Okay.
So that's good enough.
You can go back to 2 years, but you might be waiting a while to get all that data back.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it gives you the ability to also add other people who you might have access to, whose calendars you might have access to.
Gotcha.
So if you are managing a team of salespeople and you want to know, you know, what are they working on, you could add your entire team.
Very cool.
Yeah, but also, you know, if you're an executive and you have an administrator, there you go. They can do this for you.
Great.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm just going to pull my calendar. And this goes out and connects to.
So we're connected up to Exchange Web Services. Now you're VPN'd into your CorpNet environment, so you're connecting to your on-premise Exchange Web Service instance. Okay.
Right. So you know this dialogue comes up because.
Okay. Now. So I was partially right.
Yes.
There really isn't an API surface for PowerPivot per se.
Right.
So you could do all kinds of great automation in Excel, but when it comes to telling PowerPivot to do things, we haven't exposed any interfaces for doing
that
yet.
We'd love that.
Yes. Yeah. So you guys give this nice little tip that says go do PowerPivot update all and go do data refresh all. So let's do that and see what that looks like.
Yeah. And so what we've done is we brought the data into Excel. We've got to bring it to PowerPivot.
Yeah.
And to do that, we have to go to our PowerPivot ribbon and then hit update all.
Now, this is the secret magic PowerPivot button that messes a lot of people up. But what this says is if I have actual data in my Excel workbooks that's in my PowerPivot model and I want to push the latest data from my workbooks back into PowerPivot, I got to click that button to do it.
That's right.
Okay.
Probably before I hit that button, I'll just show you where I put it. And I'm going to unhide this, you know, here's the secret sauce.
Oh, cool. So there's your calendar data.
Yep. This is me. These are all of my meetings.
Got it.
And now the next step is to put it into PowerPivot. And that's by doing this.
All right. So we're going to do our update all. That's going to take the data that we downloaded from Exchange Web Services into our hidden worksheet, push it into my PowerPivot model.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And so now we got fresh data inside of PowerPivot. Now down below on the tab below, there's the tabular kind of relational model that you guys have set up for this.
Yep.
And you know, for those of you that are seeing PowerPivot for the first time, this is a big major thing that we're doing here. We're adding relational capabilities to Excel.
Yep.
I can have a table of data related to some data in another table using simple relationships,
yep,
right?
And
sometimes you got to use DAX to massage those relationships so that the linkages happen right. But bottom line is you've got some, you know, simple relational capabilities built right in.
Yes. Yeah? Yep. So this is our table for our calendar information.
Yep.
We've got a table for the time of day, you know, so we can
demonstrate
by time.
So this gives you nice formatted values for time.
That's right.
That's right.
So we could break down our meetings by time.
Yep.
These are all of the people that I've met with.
Everybody that should be looking at this should be thinking, if you're a BI person, you should be thinking, oh, that's a dimension.
That's right.
Oh, that's a fact. But basically, we got a little data mart in here.
That's right.
Right?
Yep. And then here's categories of the different meetings.
Yep.
And then groups. And I'll show you groups in a little bit because I haven't grouped anything yet. And then also our dates. And we have something, you know, busy status.
But the fact table is really the TBL calendar.
That's
everything
right.
else gives you pretty dimensions. Lookup values. Yep.
Okay. So after that, it's in PowerPivot, but the next step is to refresh the charts.
All right.
So you go to data and refresh all.
Yep.
And what that'll do is it'll actually refresh our charts, and we'll be able to visualize our
now on your wish list would have been the ability to have one button.
That's right.
That calls the PowerPivot update all function, and then calls the Excel refresh.
Yeah, there's
option.
Already a method to refresh the charts, but the key thing is to get it into PowerPivot.
Why do a button that does one thing when you can just click it on the ribbon bar?
That's
right. Yeah,
that's right.
Gotcha.
All right. So now you can see this is my calendar. I had 71 meetings so far this month, and
wow, you're a busy dude.
I try.
How many of those were like personal time?
Okay, well, let's take a look. Actually, there's no personal stuff on my calendar here.
Oh, you lock it private, huh?
He doesn't have a life.
No life for you.
Oh, yeah. You can see here that I have a lot of meetings on Friday. And, yep, I don't have a Friday night life. I have to.
All right, so here's your categorization.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a big uncategorized chunk.
That's right.
So that's where you need to go back through and maybe look at some of your meetings and add some categories to get better understanding of how you're spending your time, right?
But
you're doing better than most because almost 50% of your meetings are categorized.
Yes.
Right?
And Let me show you this this tab here too. This is the categories tab, and this is something that we've added to basically summarize the categories and, you know, group them together. So I have several categories that are on my calendar.
So all you BI people should be looking at this thinking, that looks like a hierarchy.
Yes. Yeah, so this is the subset, the category, and then the superset's the category groups.
Right.
So here are all my projects that I'm going to group together that I'm working on.
Again, just using Excel.
Just Excel.
You didn't write some custom dialog boxes. It's just like you're figuring users know how to use Excel.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep, and here's the other ones that are my admin time.
Nice. So we got a two-level hierarchy now for our meeting categories.
Yes. Now the next step, again, you got to get back into Power Pivot. So that's going to be fairly quick. You know, and then the next step after that is to refresh the charts.
And, so just to understand why we have to go through that, and you're using all your data for Power Pivot essentially is coming from the worksheets, right?
That's right.
Anytime you make a change to the worksheets, whether you're getting your new Exchange Web Service data down or whether you've made some change to your metadata, category, hierarchy things, that has to get pushed back into the Power Pivot model before it will show up in the pivot tables and the pivot charts.
That's correct.
Got
it. Yep. Yeah. So now if I go back to my chart, I've got a category group that I can slice by. Let's just take a look at all my projects. So here you can see this one project, the blue project, WO, that's where I spend most of my time.
What's WO?
Windows Online.
Nice.
We're doing a lot of BI for them.
Cool. So. Very cool. That's one of your customers. So this is pretty interesting because then, you know, if you're a consultancy or whatever and you're trying to figure out, you know, how much time you spend on different clients, easy way to do it.
Yeah. And there's other scenarios too. You can categorize, let's say, by customers, and then because Power Pivot can connect to other data sources, maybe you have your CRM system, you know, with your customers in another database, you can relate that and mash up in the same chart.
And you could, because you guys left this wide open, you could add those customizations to this thing yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. So my assertion stands true. There isn't really an API surface for Power Pivot. But fortunately, there is an API surface for both Exchange and Excel. And because we do have those rich API surfaces and we do have the Visual Studio tools for Office, these guys were able to create this nice end-to-end, very useful solution. We're seeing a lot of executives internally at Microsoft adopting this tool. There's a lot of people going back in their calendars and categorizing things. So it's actually a really great way of extending BI functionality to something that everybody can relate to if you have any kind of a professional life, right?
That's right.
And very nice job. Thank you very much, guys, for coming by and showing solutions. If you could just switch back to the slides real quick, we'll wrap up and show you a few resources that you can go check out. You can go grab Power Pivot using the bit.ly link that I gave you there because it's a lot shorter than the real link. The Calendar Analytics app, there's a nice tiny URL thing there to download that and start using it. You'd need both of those pieces to actually go use this thing, right?
Yes.
If you want to learn more about Power Pivot, there's a great primer in some content that I published on MSDN called Build Your First BI Solution with SQL Server 2008 R2. There's a URL there on the slide for that. And you want to check out the last unit in that training course on self-service reporting and analytics. And finally, you can find out more information about calendar analytics and other kind of interesting BI projects that the Microsoft BI team's kicking out on bizintelligence.tv, or BITV for short. Thanks a lot for joining us today, and we'll see you on the next DataBound.